Today's shir is Masechet Babas with Daf Kuf Hei. We will begin in Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah. As we have learned previously, when somebody sells somebody else a piece of property, Beis Kor Ofer we keep on referring to, somebody sells somebody a piece of property the size of a car, there are two types of statements that could be included in that sale that are very different halachas, as we learned in the previous Mishnah and Gemara. If the seller said to the buyer, Mida Bechevel, which means it's going to be measured by a rope, the halacha is that it has to be an exact measure, it has to be an exact measure of what was agreed upon, and if there's any deviation, it has to be paid for. On the other hand, if the seller told the buyer, hein chaser, hein yeser, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, it's more or less a base core. So as we discussed, there is leeway up to a quarter of a calf per saw. Our Mishnah discusses an interesting situation where the seller said both statements, which are contradictory statements. The seller said, Mida b'chevel ani moichloch, hein chaser, hein yeser. So he's saying both statements, which, as we just explained, are really contradictory statements. So the Mishnah paskins, what is the din? Batel hein chesser yeser mida bechevel. The last statement that he made, hein chesser hein yeser, is the prevailing statement, because as we become clear, as we learn today, shir Bezer Hashem, our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Nanis. But Nanis' opinion is tfois loshen achron. When two statements are made that are contradictory, we always follow the later statement, and therefore the hein chesser hein yeser statement is the prevailing statement, and the buyer gets the leeway. And therefore, continues the Mishnah, mida bechevel hein chesser hein yeser. Here he said again these two contradictory statements, but here he said in the different order. He first said hein chesser hein yeser, and then he said the words mida bechevel. So since the mida bechevel was the last statement made, the halacha now will be the bottle mida bechevel hein chesser hein yeser. The mida bechevel statement prevails over the statement hein chesser hein yeser, and therefore the sale has to be accurate. Divrei Bananas. All this reflects the opinion of Bananas, who says tfois loshen achron. The Mefarshim ask, why does our Mishnah have to give us two examples of the same halacha? The Bananas' opinion is tfois loshen achron. We could have learned this from the first case. So I saw the Mefarshim say a very nice teretz based on our previous shir. We learned in the previous shir that not only in a case where the seller says hein chesser hein yeser is the din that is this leeway, but also, the halacha is that if the seller says base kor ofra ani moicher, without the hein chesser hein yeser, the same din applies that there is leeway. So, says the Mefarshim, if we only had the first case of the Mishnah, we would assume that what happened was that the seller said base kor ofra ani moicher, mida bechevel, hein chesser hein yeser. So it's the first statement and the last statement that combine to give him the leeway. But could well be that if we didn't have the first statement, the base kor offer, all that was said was mida bechevel, hein chesser hein yeser. I don't know what the din is. So that's why the Mishnah goes out of the way to teach us the second case, where he said, hein chesser hein yeser mida bechevel. And there too, perhaps he began with the words base kor offer ani moichloch. And yet the Mishnah is explicitly teaching us that's the last words that count, the words that were used last, because our Mishnah follows the opinion of Bananas, the Tfois Loshen Achron. So as we're going to see in our Gemara, Bananas' opinion is Tfois Loshen Achron, the Chum disagree. And the Rishonim already debate what is the Machloikis between Bananas and the Chacham all about. The simple pshat, which is actually the pshat that many Rishonim suggest, is how to understand a person's speaking habits. According to Ben Annis, when a person speaks, every word a person says is thought out, and he scrutinizes what he says. And therefore, if a person made one statement, and of course I should have said this, everything that we're talking about a second statement perhaps prevailing over the first statement, is only if the second statement was said toich kedei dibur of the first statement. And Ben Annis' opinion is that the second statement is also thought out, was said toich kedei dibur. The person knew what he was doing, and he was sort of retracting and regrouping, and that's why the second statement is the prevailing statement. The Chachamim don't feel that people are so careful and so thought out in what they're saying, and therefore the Chachamim aren't quite sure how to view a person who makes two contradictory statements. That's the simple way of explaining the Machlokes Chachamim Ben Annis. Another way of explaining the Machlokes, a little more lomdish, is how to understand, I said a moment ago, that everybody agrees, even Ben Annis, the follows Tfois Lashon Achron, agrees that the only time the Lashon Achron prevails is it was said Toich Kedei Dibur of the first statement. But now the question is, how do we explain Toich Kedei Dibur? Ben Annis says that this concept that we have throughout Shas, that Toich Kedei Dibur, you could change your mind, is a very strong halachic principle. And what Toich Kedei Dibur says is, that if you change your mind, Toich Kedei Dibur, the first statement, it's the second statement that counts and nothing else. Chachamim say, yes, the halacha takes into consideration Toich Kedei Dibur, but not to such a great extent that what was said, if it was said Toich Kedei Dibur, the first statement, it has the ability to completely negate the first statement. The Mefarshim HaTorah, speak about this concept of Tfois Lashon Achron to explain certain psukim in the Torah. There's a famous Gemara. I believe it's Masechta Brachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu before he's going to leave Mitzrayim. Daben no be'oznei ha'am b'shalu ish me'esh re'eyu ish me'esh re'usa kli kesef kli zov. And the Gemara, the Klai Yisrael should request from the Mitzrayim different kalim before they leave Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, Ein no, the Gemara says, Ein no Allah shebekasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I ask of you, I beg of you, v'bekasha mecha, I'm begging you to make sure that Klal Yisrael, shlo yoymer oysa tzadik v'inu oysam kiyim behem, v'avodam v'inu oysam kiyim behem, the Klal Yisrael will have to be in Golas, that part that Kadosh Baruch Hu kept, v'ach kein yetz b'chush gola kiyim behem. The question is very obvious. You need to beg the person to ask Klal Yisrael to ask for money that they're deserving? What's the bakasha? So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Sefer Maskil Ladovit. He explains as follows. If we look in the psukim, first the pasuk says, V'ishalu isha meis ru'usa. The Torah says it will be the women that request these different items. Why? Why the women, not the men? The answer is, because the men said, We don't know what the Mitzrim have in their homes. We were never in the homes of Mitzrim. We had no contact with them. Our wives had contacts with the Mitzrim wife. They're the ones who should be asking. But then, we all learned Rashi. The Rashi says, during Makkas Choshech, it affected the Mitzrim. And the Jews, the men, the Jewish men, walked into the Mitzrim home and already knew what they had. So now the men can be the ones to ask. But the men said, we're passing like the Chachamim. The Chacham say, Tfois Lashon Rishon. So Kadosh Baruch Hu already gave the job to the women. So now it's too late for us to get involved. Dabana, I'm asking you that even though they're saying we should follow the opinion of Chachamim, let's, in this case, go after Lashon Achron, and you too, the men, should ask from the Mitzrim men for Kli Kesef Kli Zov. But then, I saw a different pshat from the Taz. Very famous pasuk in Parashas Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the trees, the pasuk says eitz pri oisa pri, and Rashi says eitz pri that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the trees to produce tam eitzoyu pri yashava, that the tree, the bark of the tree should taste like fruit. But the tree didn't listen, and the tree did oisa pri. The fruit and the tree don't taste the same, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset kaviyochel at the trees for not following the directive. So we need to understand, a person we know has a yetzer hara. A person does aveiros. A tree doesn't have a yetzer hara. So why didn't the tree listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? The answer is, says the Taz, if we look in the pasuk says eitz pri, oisa pri. Eitz pri means that the eitz and the pri should have the same taste. Oisa pri means that the tree should produce a peri that's not like the tree. And the tree learned our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says tfois loshen achron. Oisa pri. That's why the tree said, we're not disobeying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Oisa pri! We're producing fruit, but we don't have to taste like the fruit. So why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you hear from me contradictory statements, don't just say, banana says tfois loshen achron, and that's it. You should try to understand what I mean. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the trees. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Abba Bamamel, Am Rav, Cholken Lov Chaver Bananas. That even though bananas, as we've been explaining, is of the opinion that Tfois Loshen Achron, the Rabbanan disagree. Ask the Gemara, and the Rabbanan opinion is that in such a situation we have, as will become clear now, Gemara, in such a situation we have contradictory statements, Yachloikum. Ask the Gemara, Maikum Ashmalon. What is Rav teaching us that we haven't already learned? Tanina, didn't we learn a Gemara? We've learned the Gemara many times. Mais b'tzipar bech shesoch merchat mechaveri. Somebody rented a bathhouse from the owner of a bathhouse. And the way they spoke about it was at shneim osu zahuvim l'shana. They agreed to pay an annual rental fee of 12 gold coins, din azov l'chaydush. So here, what happened is as follows. And then the year was made into a shana muberes. It was made into a leap year. Leap year has 13 months. So now the question is, what is the fee? Is it the first statement, din azov l'chaydush, shnei masa zuvim l'shana, 12 zuhuvim for the year, no matter how long the year is, or is it a zov for every month? And this year you have to pay me 13 zahavim. Abar ma'is l'fnei Rav Shimon Gamliel l'fnei Rav Yosi. This question was brought to Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yosi, and they paskind yachloikus chaydash Hebrew. They should divide this extra month. So we see if we're going to follow the opinion of Bananas. Bananas says that we always follow Tfais Lashon Achron. Tfais Lashon Achron tells us dinah zahav l'chaydash. But they weren't ready to follow that opinion. They said it should be divided because it's a question. So why does Rav have to come and tell me a chiddush that the Chacham don't agree with Bananas, who says Tfois Loshen Achron? Obviously the Chacham don't agree with Bananas that says Tfois Loshen Achron. It's a story, it's a braisa that's mentioned many times in Shas. Answers the Gemara, no. That braisa on its own is not indicative that the Rabbanan disagree with Bananas. Because Imi Hossam, we only had that braisa. Have a mina Hossam hudim iklameima mehadabai viklameim perushikom afarish. The statements of shneim osu zuhuvim l'shana, dinazov l'chaydish, are not necessarily contradictory. Because they could complement each other. They may be contradictory. Which means shneim osu zuhuvim, it's 12 zuhuvim no matter what. Dinazov l'chaydish means a zahav for a month, or they may not be contradictory. It's not clear how to understand it. Aval hocha, the vadika hadabe, in our case, with the two statements of our Mishnah, mida b'chevel, and hein chesve and yasser, are certainly contradictory statements. There's no way of those two statements coexisting. Emeloi, Maybe there the Chacham will agree with Ben Anas that first Lashon Achron, Kamashmalon, that even in a situation where we're going to have to pick, we can't say twice, the Chacham don't agree to twice Lashon Achron. And that is the Chiddush of Rav. Machlokes Rishonim, that the Gemara speaks about this situation where there were the statement, 12 Zehuvim for the year, a Zohar for every month. What exactly is the case? The Rashba says that the case is that the landlord was renting out this Merchatz on Rosh Hashanah, and when he's renting it out on Rosh Hashanah, he said explicitly this statement. That's how the Rashba learns, and now we have a question how to interpret a statement. The Ran says no. The Ran says it doesn't have to be Rosh Hashanah. As long as the statement was made any time during the year, before the year was determined to be an Ibri Ashana Muberes, we have a legitimate question. The Rishonim and Achroidim also ask, what do Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say? What do we just learn? That since we don't know what to do, Yachloik, we should divide it. Whose opinion is that? The opinion of Simchas, that we've had many times, the Mammon HaMutal B'Safek Chalkim. Ask the Mefarshim two very fundamental questions. Number one, we've learned many times that the Chacham disagree with Simchas. And the Chacham don't hold Mammon HaMutal B'Safek Chalkim. So why are we following Simchas' opinion? One question. Another question is this concept that Simchas holds, the Mammon HaMutal B'Safek Chalkim, is only said when there's a Safek in Din, when it's Safek in Metzius. And there's a suffix, what are the facts? So we can never establish, if we can't establish the facts, yachloiku. It's not a suffix in Metzius, it's a suffix in Din. So even Simchas won't say yachloiku. So why are they saying over here, yachloiku? Answer the Mefarshim. Essentially, they say one teretz that answers both questions. What they're saying is that this too is considered a suffix, that there is no way that the Beis Din could ever get to the bottom of it. Of course, now the landlord says, I meant this, and the tenant says, I meant this. Where it's a situation where it's such a strong suffix that we'll never be able to conclusively determine what to do, everybody agrees that that's considered like a situation of a suffix in Metzius, and even the Rabbanan, and certainly Simchas, will agree that the din is Yechleiko. It's interesting. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, how did the Shulchan Aruch pass in this Shaila? The Shulchan Aruch paskens on behalf of the tenant. Shulchan Aruch paskens on behalf of the tenant. So the Shaila Meshev asks, maybe the case that the Shulchan Aruch is referring to is when the tenant and the landlord entered into this transaction, into this arrangement, before the year was decided that it would be a leap year. But perhaps in a situation where, like in our calendar, that we know which year is going to be a leap year. There we can maybe say that they should have recognized that this year is going to be a leap year. And maybe the tenant, the landlord should win. Because it's not the same as it was then, that they didn't know it's going to be a leap year. But then the Shalomesh says that the Shulchan Aruch was already written in a time where they weren't making leap years on a year-to-year basis. They were making, the calendar was already set. And on the contrary, he says, certainly, Bezman Hazeh, the tenant will win. And the Mepaiskim can give two reasons why the tenant should certainly win. One reason they say is, the landlord knew it's going to be a leap year. And he should have been careful enough to make sure to spell out that you're going to pay me for every month. And if the landlord wasn't careful to do it, it's to his detriment, it's to his loss. One. Another pshat that I saw, a very interesting pshat, is how do we look at a leap year? How does the halakha look at a leap year? We know that a leap year has an extra adar. We also know that which is considered the real adar, adar sheni. What's the raya? Because Purim is an adar sheni, not another rishon in a leap year. So it's not pshat that there's 13 months. The 12th month, the adar rishon, is sort of non-existent. So I don't have to pay for a month that doesn't exist. Now there's another interesting Shaila. And I'll say over the Shaila the way I saw that the Paiskim discussed the Shaila. In Europe, it was very common particularly people who lived in the villages where there were no yeshivas, they would hire somebody to learn with their children. A malamed. There was a malamed who was hired first to work for the, what we would call in yeshiva, the samzman, from year through Elul. 5 months, and he's going to be paid $100. He got paid $100. The person was satisfied with the work of the malamed, and he hired him to work for the wintersman. But that year, the wintersman was a muberis. It was a 6 months man. So the malamed says, since it's a 6 months man, you owe me $120, $20 a month. And he says, no, I hired you for this man. And this man is $100 a man. If it's 5 months or 6 months, I only have to give you $100. So the malamed said, I'll bring you a raya that you're wrong, and you have to pay me for the extra month. Because you didn't pay me on an annual basis. You paid me on a weekly basis. Every week you gave me $4. So every week, so that's a raya that I'm getting paid by the week. And if I work 4 more weeks, I should get $20 more, or whatever, 5 more weeks, I should get $20 more. So the question that the Paiskim discuss, can we use the method of payment as a raya, either to the landlord or to the tenant, to the malamed or to the person who hired him? Say to Paiskim, the Al Gemara is clearly a raya that the method of payment or the frequency of payment cannot be used as a raya. Why? Because let's think about Al Gemara, where the person rented the merchitz. He was getting paid, he was paying rent every month. So shouldn't that be a raya that every month you have to pay me? And if there's an extra month, you have to pay me for that extra month. Yet nowhere in the Gemara, and the Rashbam almost says this beferish, nowhere in the Gemara does the Gemara suggest that that's the din. Why? Because the frequency of the payment or the method of payment cannot be taken into consideration as a way of determining what the deal was or wasn't. Says the Gemara further. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Bananas. This opinion that we learned of Tfayis Lashon Achron is the opinion of Bananas. Avacham Maimrim, the Chama hold, Heilich Acha Pachish HaBlashonis. There's a very big machlokes Rishonim. What does Heilich Acha Pachish HaBlashonis mean? The Rashbam's opinion, which is the opinion we're going to explain the Gemara with, is that we always paskin, going back to our Mishnah, that's what we're referring to, we always paskin on behalf of the seller, to the benefit of the seller. We paskin on behalf of the seller. Why do we paskin on behalf of the seller? Because the seller is the muchzik, it's his property, and therefore he has the upper hand. This is the pshat of the Rashbam, this is the pshat of the Rambam. The Ravid makes a distinction. He says we have to see. It makes a difference if the buyer paid or he didn't pay yet. That's how the Ravid learns. Others say, a very interesting pshat, Pachashev L'shoinus, is our Mishnah had two contradictory statements. One is Mida B'chevel, 2 words, and one is 4 words, Hein Chesav Hein Yeser. So since Mida Bechevel is the shorter statement, what the Gemara means is we always follow the shorter statement. Pachashev L'shoinus. The Rishonim said it's pshat. Other Rishonim suggest the opposite. They say as follows. That's the way the Prish explains this opinion. If you look at these two statements, the statement Mida Bechevel and the statement Hein Chesav Hein Yeser, just looking at those two statements, which statement is the easier statement to understand? Which statement is clearer to us? Hein Chesav Hein Yeser is very clear. What am I saying, Hein Chesav Hein Yeser? I'm saying more or less. Mida Bechevel doesn't mean that I'm being exact. Mida Bechevel is we're going to measure. Of course you have to measure. Whenever I sell you something, I have to measure it. So therefore, since Hein Chesav Hein Yeser is considered the clearer statement, that's what Pachashev L'shoinus. But again, we have all these different opinions of the Rishonim. I'm going to follow the pshat of the Rashbam, which is actually pshat of the Rambam too, that we pass on behalf of the Meicher. That whatever is to his benefit, whatever will be to the benefit of the Meicher, because he's the Muchzik. Says comments Rav, that since Shmuel says said Zu Divrei Bananas. What was Shmuel meaning to say? The Bananas holds that way, but I don't hold that way. Ask the Gemara, Zuvlei Sirlei, does Shmuel not agree with the opinion of Bananas? I'll prove to you that he does. For Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, they speak about a case that we've previously discussed. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, Kor B'Shloish Mani Moichalach. If there are two ways that we can contract to sell 30 saw, one way it can be contracted is Kor B'Shloishim Ani Moichalach. That I'm selling you a kor, which is, as we keep on learning, 30 saw. And so I'm telling you it's 30 saw for $30. But I said it's going to be a package deal. So the halach is, since it was being sold as a package deal, the yach laks b'afil b'saw achrona. Until the entire 30 saw are, until there's a kinyan on the entire 30 saw, there is no kinyan. And either the buyer or the seller can retract. And as we tackled, learned earlier in the Masechta, there may be a situation that they would retract if the price changes either to the benefit of the buyer or to the seller. However, if a person said the following, and let's follow what he said, Kor b'shloshim saw b'seller ani meichalach. So here we have contradictory statements. First he said Kor b'shloshim. So again, he speaks about a package. But then he also said saw b'seller, one saw at a time. If you would have only said, let's think this through together, what would be if the way the deal was discussed was saw b'seller? What would be the din? That each saw is considered a separate transaction. Here he said these two statements, which are sort of contradictory. Kor b'shloshim saw means it's a package. Saw b'seller means that we look at each saw separately. What is the halacha? The halacha is rishon kana. Why? Tfais lashon akron. So here we see that Shmuel paskins like Bananas. So asked Gemara, how are you saying that Shmuel disagrees with Bananas? This case is a clear indication that Shmuel agrees with Bananas. However, to sort of qualify what we just learned, we need to put it into perspective. Number one, the Rishonim say that it would make a difference if he was being paid for each saw at a time. That means, if it wasn't just that I made these statements, but he was being paid for a saw at a time, the fact that he's being paid for each saw is a clear indication that it becomes the Lekeach, even in this type of a statement. One point the Rishonim make. Another point that the Rishonim ask is as follows. Going back to the previous case, everybody agrees, as I explained, that if the transaction was stated Kor b'shloshim ani meichalach, if that's the way the transaction was constructed, it doesn't become a deal until all 30 saw are delivered. But now we have a question. If it doesn't become a deal until the last saw is delivered, so how do we have a kinyan on the first 29? What happened with the first 29 saw as we're doing being delivered? There's no kinyan. So how does it work? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that it's not that there is no kinyan on the first 29. It's sort of a conditional kinyan. The kinyan is being made, but it's conditioned that there be complete delivery. Or another way, which is fairly similar, is that the person says that the 30th saw is going to be, it's going to be considered like he gave me all 30 at one time. When I take delivery in my keli of the 30th saw, it's either buyer, it's considered like he gave me all 30 at one time, and there's one kinyan on all 30. But back to our sugya. From this case, we clearly see that Shmuel does go with Tfais Lashon Achron. So now we have a very big problem. We try to understand. Rav, sort of, the Gemara seemed to make an indication that Shmuel said, Zu divrei bananas, Zu v'loi svirilei, that Shmuel doesn't agree with bananas. Isn't this case that we just spoke a raya that Shmuel does hold with bananas? Because of this question, says the Gemara, Zu v'svirilei. Even though it's not what we would want to say, we have no choice, but we have to say that Shmuel does agree with bananas. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Shmuel agrees with Ben Anis? Or me Sfirle, how can one suggest that Shmuel agrees with Ben Anis? For Hama Shmuel, we go back to the case that we spoke about earlier. What was the case we spoke about earlier? Where I rented a merchatz from you, and the statements are difficult to make consistent. On one hand, it sounded like I'm paying 12 zehuvim on an annual basis. On the other hand, it sounds like I'm paying you on a monthly basis. What do we do? So Shmuel Paskin, we look at it this way. Bababa emtsa chaydish, if in the middle of the month, the landlord comes to me and says, you know, it's the 13th month, but you're still going to have to pay for this. Zayda halachi is yachloiku. Ava baba tchilas hachaydish, if we're the landlord to know, he came to the shir, and he knows that we may end up here with a conflict. So he's smart enough to say to me, you're going to have to pay for the whole month. It's Rosh Chodesh Ad Sheni. But I want you to know, if you're going to use this merchatz this month, you have to pay for it. Then the landlord prevails. B'sof HaChodesh, if on the other hand, the landlord waited for the end of the month, Kulo L'Soicher, then the tenant will win. So we see that Shmuel doesn't go with the Tfos Lashon Achron. Because if Shmuel follows Lashon Achron, let's think about it. If Shmuel follows Lashon Achron, when is the Lashon Achron? The Lashon Achron was Dinazav L'Chodesh, and the tenant would have to pay no matter what. So it's a raya that Shmuel doesn't pass him like the bananas. So we're completely confused. What does Shmuel hold? Says the Gemara, Ela Olam Zu V'Lai Sfirle. Shmuel does not agree with bananas. If so, if he doesn't agree with bananas, why in the case of Korba Shloshim does he say that we do follow the second statement? Why he doesn't hold of it? And says the Gemara, there it's different. For Hashem Tamamai Mishum the Tofus. It's a different situation because the Lekeach already is holding on to the wheat. Since he's already holding on to the wheat, there's a new concept of Tefisa. And the concept of Tefisa always says that you're going to, the one that's holding is in a strong position. Hashem Nami Hotofus, and the same by the tenant. By the end of the month, where the tenant already used the Merchatz this 13th month, and now the landlord comes and says, pay me? He already used it. He's the one that's going to win. Ask the Mefarshim, when does Tefisa work? When is that? We have a concept in Halakha many times. The one that's seizing something, the one that's holding something is in a strong position. But that's only if I seize it before the Shiloh came up. Here, I'm holding it after the Shiloh came up. How could Tefisa win? So Mefarshim explained, since here, it's not just that he was typhus. He has a strong claim. He says that I understood the terms of our deal, that I only have to pay you 12 zehuvim a year. So even though it's not a real situation of tefisa, because the tefisa was only done after the shiloh emerged, it's still considered halachically like tefisa, and since he was already here, the whole month he wins. As all of us see, there's a lot of Rashbam here. So I'll repeat some of the Rashbam, beautiful Rashbam, Lomdish. The Gemara said, says the Rashbam, and the other Rishonim discussed it also, maybe a little more bekitzer, the following concept. The Gemara says, what's the raya that Shmuel doesn't agree with bananas? The raya is from the case of the maskir, because he had these two contradictory statements. If we were to follow the opinion of bananas, we would go to Tfos Lashon Achron. And the Lashon Achron was Zav L'Chodesh. The fact that Shmuel didn't go that way is a raya that he doesn't agree with bananas. Ask the Rashbam, who wasn't so long ago, it was actually the beginning of our shir, that we learned that there's different situations, and that the Gemara suggested that maybe bananas only says his concept of Tfos Lashon Achron in a case like our Mishnah. What's the case of our Mishnah? The case of our Mishnah is that the two statements are absolutely contradictory. Mida Bechevel and Hein Chesed Vein Yeser are contradictory statements. That's what Ben Anis says, Tfos Lashon Achron. But if there's a way, as the Gemara suggested, by the case of the rental, where the two statements could sort of coexist, who says that there's any machlokes? So ask the Rashbam, why is the Gemara so quick to assume that Benanis disagrees with Benanis, maybe Shmuel will say that this is not the circumstance that Benanis is speaking to. Because Benanis is only speaking in a situation where there's an absolute contradiction. Here there's no absolute contradiction. That's the Rashbam's kasha. Rashbam says three terutzim. One terutz is that Rashbam says two terutzim work with the language. He says we can't forget, we can't ignore the words of Shmuel. What were the words of Shmuel? Zu divrei Benanis. Anybody who ever learned in yeshiva knows that that seems to point that he's saying Benanis holds that way and I don't hold that way. So maybe yes, says the Rashbam, we could conceptually come up with a way of having Shmuel agree with Benanis. But his wording doesn't take us there. His wording doesn't take us there. It's one teretz. Another teretz is that it makes more sense to say that Shmuel is going to pass on like the Chachamim versus Benanis. Throughout Shas, when you have one Tana arguing with the Chachamim, we pass on like the Chachamim. So the Gemara is anxious, is eager to have Shmuel follow the opinion of a Chachamim, not follow the opinion of Benanis. But then I saw third teretz, that the Rashbam, all these terutzim are in the Rashbam. The Rashbam says the third teretz is a little more lumnish. The Rashbam says as follows. If we're going to draw a distinction between a situation where the two statements are contradictory, that's where Benanis holds Tvois Lashon Achron, versus a situation where the two statements are not absolutely contradictory, that there perhaps the halacha is Yachloiku, because if they're not absolutely contradictory, the halacha changes, as I discussed at the beginning of this year, that we file, everybody will agree Yachloiku, then we need to understand what Shmuel's saying. What did Shmuel say? Shmuel started making a distinction. If it's the beginning of the month, it's the end of the month, it's the middle of the month, what's the difference? If in a case where the two statements are not absolutely contradictory, Daloch is Yachloiku, should be Yachloiku always. The fact that Shmuel goes out of his way to start making differences, beginning, middle, end, seems to show us that he doesn't want to follow this Mahalach because he doesn't agree with Benanis. Continues the Gemara. Amrav Huna, Amri Bei Rav. Rav, on the other hand, does follow the opinion of Benanis. And therefore, when a transaction is conducted between a buyer and a seller, and they speak about the price, and they say, Istra Meimah, an Istra is a coin. It's very close in value to 100 Ma. 100 Ma is 100 Prutas. An Istra has 96 Prutas. So when the sale was negotiated, what was said was, Istra Meimah. The halacha is, you have to pay Meimah. Twice Lashon Achron. The Lashon Achron was Meimah. On the other hand, if the way it was said was Meimah Istra, then the match you'll have to pay is an Istra. Again, Twice Lashon Achron. Ask the Gemara, so what are you teaching us? My Kamashmon, what is Rav teaching us by saying this din? The Twice Lashon Achron. Therefore you follow whatever was said last. Ask the Gemara, Homer Rav Chodazimna. Rav already taught us. Domer Rav, Iyava Hassam. If I would have been there, Haviyiv Nakula Lamaskar. Going back to our case of the rental. Where is the contradiction, where we don't know, is it 12 Zahuvim for the year, or one Zav per month? That the halacha is you pay one Zav per month. Because that's the second statement. So we already know that that's Rav's opinion. That we always go with Tfosh Lashon Achron. The Rav follows the opinion of Benanis. So why does he have to teach it to us again? Does he have to keep on saying the same din every time? We're not going to learn the parentheses. Maritime Purush Kamafaris Kamashmon. This is really a repetition of what I just said now. In the previous cases that Rav says Kula Lamaskar, in the case of the rental, the two statements, as I just finished explaining, are not contradictory. There is a way of the statement 12 Zehuvim for the year. The Gemara said it before, Shana Man Aleph. There is a way that the statement 12 Zehuvim for the year, a Zav for each month, could coexist. Because as the Gemara suggested at the beginning of this year, the second statement could perhaps be an explanation of the first statement. You pay me 12 Zehuvim a year, but if it's an Ibra year, you'll pay me 13 because you're paying me a Zav a year. So that case is not necessary. The fact that the masker, the fact that the tenant has to pay a Zav per month, it's not a ride that we go to Tfais Lashon Achron. It could be that we don't hold Tzvayis Lashon Achron, but we do hold Purush Yikam and Farish. However, in this case that we just learned, Istra Meimo, it's like the case of our Mishnah, where these two statements are absolutely contradictory. It's either, if it's 96, it's not 100. If it's 100, it's not 96. So Rav went out of his way to teach us this case, because he wanted to teach us a case where there's no room for misunderstanding, where the two statements are contradictory, and there, if we say Tfasul Lashon Achron, it's clear that you followed opinion of Bananas. Not because of Purush Yikam Mefarish, rather because he says Tfasul Lashon Achron.